Welcome to CMDA's Voice of Advocacy podcast. Here's your host, Dr. Brick Lance.
Welcome to the Voice of Advocacy. I'm your host, Dr. Brick Lance, and I have a very interesting guest today, Zoran Panovic. We met from a mutual friend in the Balkans of Eastern Europe, but today we are in Sydney, Australia. Zoran is a pastor here in Australia, and he's written a wonderful book, In Your Dreams, Have You Ever Woken from a Startling Dream and Wondered What It Meant? So Zoran, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on your program.
Zoran, I wonder about my dreams and if they have meaning, but what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, well, you're not alone. That's a good question, a really good question. I came to Christ in 1981, and I stepped into full-time ministry as a youth pastor in 1985. Between 1981 and 1985, I had a couple of really significant, what I call destiny dreams, that I did not know at the time what they meant. And it wasn't until I met a man, long story, actually in Sydney. I was doing Bible school here for a while. And a man from America, from your end of the woods, whose name is Herman Riffel, a very interesting name, not common. And his was the first book that I purchased on the subject because there was very little Christian literature on the topic. And when you think about Acts chapter 2, verse 17, that says in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh and your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. So it was apparent to me that dreams and visions were the language of the New Testament church. And I had this insatiable appetite to know more about it because I was having these experiences in my sleep, prophetic experiences. I was disappointed in the early 80s. There was hardly any material on the topic, hardly any Christian material on the topic. And yet you would go to Melbourne University and they would have something like 150 titles on the subject. And I wondered, you know, why isn't anybody in the church writing something like this? And so bit by bit, as the years have unfolded, Brick, I ended up teaching on this subject and lecturing on this subject in Bible colleges as well. And in seminars, in conferences, not just in Australia, but different parts of the world too. It's gone on from one thing to another. But to simply answer your question, I had some really defining destiny dreams when I was younger. And that wonderful man from America was able to shed light on it and some truth on how to go about this area. And it set me off on my pilgrimage, we might say.
So we're not going to be able to get to all of the chapters in a book, but you do have a chapter on recurring dreams. And I think some of the common recurring dreams are fall from a height and never hitting the ground, also being naked in public. I've had those before. But I've also had a recurring dream about being back in school. And I always wonder what it meant. And I don't know if God had put that in my heart or not. Again, at advanced age in my career, I did go back to school and get my master's in bioethics, and I wonder if God was telling me that this would be useful or not. Tell us about recurring dreams in this chapter of your book.
Yeah, it's not uncommon at times for people to dream that they're back at school. Again, we have to really be careful because one symbol does not necessarily mean the same for everybody because we're all distinctively unique and have our different backgrounds and the things that we're exposed to in life. And so for one person, if they were back in school, you know, you'd have to ask, are they sitting an exam? If they were sitting an exam, are they going through something at the moment that's by way of a test or a trial? Because it's symbolic for tests, exams and trials. That may apply to them. Or if they go back to school, going back to school is the symbol of learning and growing and developing and coming into something new, which may be applicable in your case, for example, if you're stepping into a course. Going back to school, depending on if it's high school or wherever, are also foundational years too. And so for somebody else, it might mean something foundational in their life because they've gone back to a time of where certain things were being laid down and embedded in their life. And so it just depends on who the person is and in what context that applies to.
Zoran, I found your book very enjoyable, but also found it easy to read. And I'm a very simple-minded person, and it's full of scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament. Was it intentional to make this a very readable book?
But let me just say, we worked hard with my publisher to make it easy to read because we wanted it to be easy to read because our vision was for it to be in the hands of those who are not believers just yet.
So I also found it fascinating in your book that you use this idea of dreams actually to lead people to Christ, talking about their own dreams. And you have certain rules or what you call laws of interpretation of these dreams, and you describe an acronym for following these rules or laws for interpretation. Can you share about that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. And how that all came about was in my early years, I was learning a lot about this for my own personal life, and somebody was running a prophetic school in Queensland, and her name was Vicky. She was very prophetic. She said, "You need to come and teach on this at my school." I said, "Vicky, what do you mean? I've never taught on this." "Well, you'll have it all together by the time you come to my school." I said, "Gosh, Vicky, that's no pressure, eh?" I said, "I don't know the first thing about what to teach on this. It'll come to you. It'll come to you. You must come." And sure enough, it did. You know, like I prayed about it. I said, "Lord, I feel like maybe you want me to teach on this stuff to cause an awakening in the body of Christ." And so one of the things that came to me was the simplicity of the acronym DREAM. And so I talk about those five keys, five laws to interpretation. And the letter D is discern whether a dream is literal or metaphorical first.
Yes, two special categories.
Right. So I was trying to help people understand whether they might have a literal meaning. You know, that's probably a bit long to explain. But R is like recent events and concerns. Ecclesiastes 5:3 talks about a dream comes from events and concerns in the activities of the day. And so a lot of our dreams are the assortment of every day-to-day activities or week or weekly activity of something that might be happening within our life that manifests itself at night. And so I generally ask people, you know, what is it that has been happening in the last week or so? And has there been an event of some sort? Or I try and understand the circumstances, you know. And then they've got E. E is for the emotional tone. And so what is the tone of what was the tone of emotion in the dream? You know, was it miserable? And if you were miserable in the dream, is it possible that you're going through something that's miserable at this time? You know, if you were frustrated, are you going through a time where you're frustrated? Are you elated? Are you excited? Is there something about that we need to look at? And then just very quickly, I talk about A. A is ask the Holy Spirit for insight. If I was teaching this in a secular format, I would use the letter A for analyze symbols. But because we are in a Christian context, I use the letter A for ask the Holy Spirit for help with symbols.
Zoran used many symbols or metaphors throughout the book. And of course, Christ in the Gospels uses quite a few symbols and metaphors to describe life. Was that intentional in your book?
100%. And so much of it. So much. I always say to people, if you really want to learn the language of symbols, study the parables, study the prophets and the imagery that they're using. And, you know, for example, a tree. Yeah, Jesus is referring to a tree. Jesus is referring to a person as like a tree, right? Then you've got Psalm 1, right? Psalm 1 has got a tree in it, yeah, planted by a stream of water, yielding fruit in the time of season and prospering in all that they do. It's talking about a tree. That blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, because he will be, who delights in the law of the Lord, he will be like a tree. And so, you know, if it was a tree, I'd be thinking about a person's individual life, or maybe a family tree, for example, right? Yeah, it's full of symbolism. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand symbolism.
Zoran, let me tell you about another recurring dream that I've had. And we live in Eugene, Oregon. We live actually outside the city limits in the county up on a hill. And I've had some dreams about selling this home. Of course, Lissy and I, we certainly enjoy our home. And we've made a conscious decision to make this home a place of ministry. So not only have a variety of youth groups that use our backyard, but we've had over 30 people live with us and live with us for free. And we look at it as a home of ministry. And I don't know if God placed that dream or not in my mind to make this a place of ministry, but I find this interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I can understand that. I do encourage people who are making some serious decisions, not necessarily to just lean on a dream as such, but that doesn't take anything away from the significance that a dream can have. We see that through scripture. I mean, in the book of Matthew alone, there's five references to instructions from dreams.
Yeah.
Just in Matthew alone.
Okay, and what's the next word of your acronym?
Is M. Okay. M. This one's important, right? Okay, so as we're working through the dreams, whether personally for our own life or trying to help somebody, we need to letter M, make sure the interpretation sits well. We need to make sure. And by that, what I mean is that those of us operating prophetically in this space need to know that we can't impose our interpretation on somebody, because the person that has to witness to whether the interpretation is correct or not is the dreamer themselves, right? So when Joseph shared the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream, it resonated with Pharaoh. He knew. How did he know? He knew.
And Nebuchadnezzar knew when Daniel told him about his dream.
Exactly. Nebuchadnezzar, how did he know? How did he know? They know. The dreamer knows when an interpretation of the dream resonates within them.
That makes sense.
Really, for example, I think I write about this in my book, which is available on my website too, by the way.
We will post that in the show notes.
Great, great. Let's just use the example of make sure. You know, like I had a gentleman who was a fairly well-to-do businessman, and he kept dreaming that his warehouse was on fire. And here's a practice run of what we've been talking about right now with these five keys. First thing I ask him, I said, Alan, did you check your warehouse literally? Did you check the security around it? You know, because you dreamt it was on fire. He said, funny you say that. He said, the first thing I did was walk around the warehouse and check it, all the internal workings, the electricals and everything, to make sure. I said, was it all right? He said, yeah, everything's in order. I said, well, then mate, I would like to suggest to you that the dream's symbolic, right? And what I'd said to him, I said, Alan, you know why the warehouse is going up in smoke? The warehouse is a symbol of your work life. Your home, your domestic home, is a symbol of your personal life. But he's dreaming of his warehouse. And I said, Alan, if you don't slow down, you are going to burn out. You are going at it. And help me to know the man, right?
Yeah.
Workaholic. Well, he rang me about 3 months later. He said, I have not forgotten about what you said. It resonated with me. See, it resonated with him. Yeah. And sometimes we prophesy in part, the scripture says, and sometimes there'll be aspects of an interpretation that may resonate and other aspects that don't. But only the person dreaming will know that. And so it's always really important to say to the person, what do you think about what I've just said? How does that sit with you?
So, Ron, you ask probing questions to those individuals in which you're discussing their dreams. I found that to obviously be intentional on your part. I'm going to tell you about dreams of people that I know following trauma. First is my father. And, of course, my father was a godly man, follower of Christ. But when his grandson, my nephew, drowned at age 19, my dad had a dream the night that occurred. And he was at a concert with his grandson, and then their tickets in the hand to enter the concert. And the person taking the tickets took my nephew's ticket and then turned to my dad and said, sir, it is not your time to enter the concert.
I think that it's an amazing, they're amazing, there can be amazing moments.
So here's my second story, is I was on a raft trip, it's actually a kayak trip with some buddies on a river that is fairly technical here in Oregon. And one of them's younger, he's kind of a daredevil, and we were ahead of the other kayakers, just a few of us. And he wanted to go off this section, which looked impossible. In fact, obviously was impossible. And we told him, no, don't do this. And then he talked, well, why don't you set up some safety throw ropes and I'm going to go run this. And an hour before this, which we subsequently found out later when we returned home, his daughter woke up with a very bad dream an hour before this occurred, saying, you need to be praying for your father. Just the Lord placed on her heart. So she woke up and just started praying for her father. All right, so now her dad, who I'm with on this river, ran this section, and he goes off this ledge of this rock and lands nose first on his kayak, and he gets stuck underneath a rock, barely can get his head up, and the water's rushing over it. I throw my rope, and fortunately his arm was up, and I think that was God's blessing. He caught that rope, was able to pull himself up, pull out his knife that was attached to his life jacket, cut off his sandal to free him, and then popped up during that time. But I find it fascinating the dream that his daughter had an hour before this incident occurred.
Yeah, my very own sister. Don't ask me how to explain all this, but my sister dreamt that my parents were in a car accident. But she didn't pray. And honestly, a day or two later, it was raining and wet, and Dad rolled the car. So you can make what you want of that, but sometimes we do have moments where we are to pray for people. And I know other incidences as well, time doesn't allow us to get into that, where that has occurred for sure.
So, Ryan, in your book, you describe a troubling dream that a lady had, that she had it for 40 years. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's probably the most remarkable one that I've had, where I was speaking to a husband and wife about, they were not believers, but we had a powerful time in the presence of God there trying to reach them. And she was very reluctant to share a dream until her husband had begged her, because we'd talked about my book. And anyway, she finally shared the dream, that she had a recurring dream for 40 years. And I was stunned by it, actually. And it consisted of her being in front of a door, putting her hand on the door handle and unable to open it. And when I said to her, because I think what's important is to be able to ask the right questions, and that's where the Holy Spirit helps, to ask the right questions. Otherwise, you can be dancing around forever and a day. And I just asked her what's on the other side of the door, and she said evil. Evil's on the other side of the door. And then she proceeded to, and then I asked her what her relationship was with her mother. And you might say, well, why did you ask her that question? I don't know. I just asked her that question. And she said, I hate my mother. I despise my mother like you wouldn't believe. And her mother passed away some time ago, and she still hates her mother. And I said to the lady, I said, look, I think we can help you. Would you like to be set free of this evil behind the door? Because the evil is a strong, resentful, unforgiving spirit that's eating your insides out. And you know, the discussion went on for quite some time, Brick, that's too long to go into here, but I had an amazing moment with this lady.
Tell us through this idea of the dream how you were able to share the gospel.
Oh, it was incredible. The touch of God, the presence of God on our row, it was because I sat down on the aisle seat of the plane, and those two husband and wife were sitting next to me. I don't know what was happening in the rest of the plane, but on my aisle, the presence and the touch of God was so strong.
Soren, I love the scripture you use throughout this book, and of course there's a lot of scripture about dreams, but in Job 33, there is a warning to turn a man from wrongdoing to keep him from pride.
Right, yeah. Yeah. And the rest of the scripture says that though God speaks in a dream and a vision of the night, though man does not perceive it. Yeah. He doesn't even get the fact that God is speaking to him.
That is interesting.
And I've had that happen so many times with people, so many times. Now God's speaking to them that they just don't understand.
Soren, there are some other books written about dreams, mostly though from a secular position. There's actually very little Christian authors writing about dreams and their perspective. I do find it interesting in the Muslim world that people are coming to know Christ through dreams. Was this an incentive for you to write this book from a Christian perspective?
I think it's more prevalent now in the U.S. Okay. There's a lot of authors there now in the U.S. that will touch on it. When I say a lot, there's never enough, but yeah. I would say I was probably the first one from my knowledge of what was going around in the 80s to step into this field here like this. And ever since then, there's been one or two, maybe three more that are known to me who have really done well to pick up the baton in this area. But your question about why do we not have more people teaching this? I mean, John Paul Jackson in the US is one great author. He's passed away, but he was one of the early ones. I suppose because this area of operation with dreams and visions has got a prophetic fabric to it, right? Ephesians 4:11, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers. And then there is the gift of prophecy that's spoken about in 1 Corinthians 14. And it's not something that's readily taught or maybe inspired, because down through the ages and time, Brick, it's been seen more as a loopy thing. You know, people have gone a bit weird with the whole prophetic thing. And then pastors don't really want to inspire it too much in churches, because how do you manage the weirdos? if I can say that politely, right? How do you manage them, right? But we need to teach on it. We need to teach on the prophetic.
Zoran, so our listeners are healthcare professionals, and the majority certainly are followers of Christ. So what is your advice for us when we have bad dreams or recurrent dreams?
I think that's a good question. First and foremost, I think some caution to be exercised about making decisions based on a dream, particularly if you are unfamiliar to the whole area of interpretation and the language of symbols and what that may mean.
Should we try to remember our dreams? Because often we wake up, we might be able to remember them at that time, but we certainly don't think about them and they certainly go away. But should we try to remember them?
Yeah, and that's a good question too. And I remember in the early days when I was younger that I would journal a lot. I still journal, but I journaled back then. And I would just journal. And write. I have several journals, and one of them is a prophetic journal, and in there is all sorts of things about my own life that's to do with the prophetic, and in there are recorded dreams. And so I would encourage journaling them to begin with, and then read and study and learn a little bit about it. Just read a bit about it.
So Zoran, I'm going to tell you about a fun game, and I am a practical joker, but it's called the dream game. And I've actually played this with employees at work. I've played it with the young people that live in our home and my own family. So to play this game, you have to choose an individual who does not know the game at all. I escort that individual away from the rest of the people, and I explain to this individual that the people back in the room are creating a dream for them, for this person. And you are to figure out what dream they created for you. Now, back in the room, they are not doing that. They have a pattern. They're going to answer questions for this individual, and it's going to be a pattern such as yes, yes, no, or no, no, yes. Whatever the pattern, they consistently give that pattern. So I tell the individual that you can only ask them yes or no questions to figure out the dream they've created for them. So I take the individual back in the room after a pause, and then that person, he or she, will start asking the questions. Simple questions. Was I at home in the dream? No. Was I at school in the dream? No. Okay, now the third question is supposed to give a yes. Was I in my car? Yes, because you're just following the pattern. And then they go down this rabbit trail trying to figure out what dream they created for them. But it's actually the individual creating a dream because they're just going down this rabbit trail following this pattern. It's actually very fun. It's hilarious. And of course, if they ask the same question, you can just say that is correct. So you stay in your pattern of no, no, yes, or yes, yes, no, however you want to do it. But anyway, it's a hilarious game. I encourage you to play it. It's very fun. Zoran, thank you for being with us.
Well, great to be in your program, Greg. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to CMDA's Voice of Advocacy podcast. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email us at advocacy@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.